We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Buffs Insider this week. The Colorado Buffaloes basketball team getting ready tomorrow to wrap up the regular season against Utah. And speaking of, and by the way, that's Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com. My voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Speaking of Colorado and Utah, way too much Buffs and Utes here as of late. But yesterday, opening round of the Pac-12 Women's Basketball Tournament up in Seattle at Key Arena, and the CU women win for the first time, what'd you tell me, since 2015, they won their opening round game of the tournament.
Yep, first opening round win in the Pac-12 tournament for J.R. Payne. Oddly enough, it's the third time they've been a number 9 seed, and they're 3-0 opening the tournament as a number 9 seed. But really nice win for them. They had split with Utah this year, both very close games. Colorado lost here, won at Utah, but they were up by as much as 21 yesterday. Kennedy Leonard, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 5 steals, 4 assists. That's pretty good line for somebody right there. So, yeah, it was a good all-around game for J.R. Payne's team. Yeah,
Kennedy was delivering popcorn at halftime and cleaning up the locker room after the game. She was doing it all yesterday. You know, I'll say this for J.R. Payne and what she and her staff have done late this season. There was, a period early to mid part of the Pac-12 season, Neil, where that thing was maybe teetering a little bit. That staff did a good job of righting the ship because they've been playing some pretty good basketball down the stretch.
Indeed, there was a stretch there where they lost 9 out of 10 games, and you were looking at the schedule saying, well, where were they going to find the next win? Since losing 9 of 10, they've won 3 of the last 5. They're playing well, and they're playing probably as good as they've played all year. They're playing well at the right time. Later today, they get number 1 seed Oregon. Big test for them. But as JR said after the game, this is the kind of game you go out, you have fun, you let it all hang out because you got nothing to lose.
Kennedy Leonard, we joke about the line she put together, but she might be as complete a ball player as we've seen here in the women's program in recent memory, don't you think?
Yeah, she is, because she does so many things well. She can drive to the hoop. She can shoot a 3. She plays great defense. Like I said, I think 5 steals yesterday against Utah, and she turned about 3 of those into breakaway baskets. And so she was, creating her own offense in that regard. Plays good defense, can rebound, especially for a point guard, rebounds well. So kind of like that other point guard on campus.
Yeah, it's Ken and Ken, if you saw the graphic earlier this week. So congratulations to the CU women's team knocking off yesterday up in Seattle, 66-56, Utah, in the opening round of the Pac-12 women's tournament. Today, they take on number one seed Oregon. It'll be a great challenge. Once again, that's a 12:30 Mountain Time game. You can catch it on the Colorado Basketball Network and the Pac-12 Television Network and streaming live at CUBuffs.com. Speaking of the men, Colorado, Utah, tomorrow, 5 o'clock in Salt Lake City. Buffs coming off that nice Senior Day victory over UCLA last week. Give us a thought or two on where the Buffaloes are at. And speaking of playing well, they need to be playing well on this stretch.
And this is a game that there's not a lot at stake for them in terms of tournament seeding as far as the Pac-12 goes. Right now, they're in that 8 or 9 range. A lot for them would have to happen for them to be out of that 8 and 9 range and drop down to 10. But what they do need to do is get some momentum going into the Pac-12 tournament. They open the Pac-12 tournament next Wednesday. And so if they can go and get a road win, that would be a huge boost for them, never mind a little boost for an NIT resume, which Tad Boyle does not want us talking about. But, that's the reality of it. They either have to win out at the Pac-12 tournament to get an NCAA automatic berth or play well enough to get an NIT berth.
Here's the thing about that Pac-12 men's tournament coming up next week in Las Vegas. And I know yesterday, I think word came down, Sean Miller said he's going to be coaching. There is this black cloud hanging over college basketball, really the entire nation, but in particular the Pac-12 with Sean Miller and USC and allegations about Utah and all over the place. But with that all being said, this tournament is pretty wide open. So even if you are in that 8-9 game and have to play the number one seed after, if you're lucky enough to win that first ball game, it really is a wide open tournament.
This is as wide open a tournament, I think, as we've seen in the last few years, Mark, because I think if you look over the last few years, Oregon, very, very, very good team. Arizona has been very good over the last few years. But there's not a team in there that Colorado can't beat. I mean, they beat Oregon. I mean, they beat Arizona. They beat Arizona State. They've beaten some good teams. They've beaten UCLA. If they're playing well, they can, you know, they have a chance to make a little run in this tournament. By no means am I saying they're going to win four in a row, but there's not a team that I look at in that tournament and say that's the clear favorite.
Last week, the victory in the Senior Day game over UCLA. I guess when you've got Dominic Collier leading the way with, what do you have, 19 or so, George King at 16 points, and a nice game on the glass. That's the way those Senior Days are supposed to go, aren't they?
That was a really nice finish, and it was good to see Dom play his last game in the Event Center and have a game to remember. 19 points, that's actually the most points he's ever scored in the Event Center. And so it was nice to see that. And that's when that team plays that way, when they get 16 from Malukas Seward, 16 from George King, 19 from Dom Collier, when they play good defense like they did again, they don't turn the ball over. That team is a fun team to watch play. And what's funny is that was a 10.8 assist game from McKinley, right? That's the first time we mentioned him.
Yeah, stunning, as good as he is. And he's been phenomenal this season, obviously. And you look forward to the next 4 years with him running the point for the Buffaloes. How about Lucas Siebert, though, the way he's played down the stretch? I mean, you know, we talked about the women's team having that middle of the season where things were teetering a little bit. That was true after the ankle injury for Lucas down in Virginia, the Paradise Jam. And I kind of wondered, well, I don't know. Is this guy going to ever evolve? You know, Mike Roan kept telling me, the associate head coach, there's something there. Don't doubt this guy. He can play. And you're really seeing him the last month of the season kind of round into, well, what Tad Boyle and Mike Roan have been telling us he could be.
Well, he's that guy that they've been wanting to see. He's a guy that can go in and get 5, 6, 7 rebounds a game. He can shoot the three that makes the big guy come outside to guard him. And in the last couple of weeks, he's been going inside. He's been scoring inside a little bit. And that's the guy that they have to have. And, couldn't come at a better time. And certainly it gives you you really want to see what he's going to be in the future, because if he can keep up that kind of improvement, take another step next year, he can definitely be a factor for Colorado, you know, inside along with Dallas Walton and Evan Batty.
Well, the Buffaloes put a wrap on the regular season tomorrow. We'll be in Salt Lake City, the Huntsman Center. Our coverage gets underway at 4:30 with Buffs Warm-Up presented by Safeway on the Colorado Basketball Network, and then a tip-off between the Buffs and the Utes at 5 o'clock Mountain Time. The game will also be streaming live at CUBuffs.com. Hey, spring ball, you've been out there more than I have as of late. 4 or 5 practices under the belt for Mike McIntyre's team. Give us a thought or two.
I think the biggest storyline so far, for me at least, has been the newcomers, the guys that have showed up, especially the JC guys that are just, you know, enrolled this semester and been here. They're already making an impact. Mustafa Johnson on the defensive line, Delrick Abrams is playing out on the corner, and so you've got guys that are coming in and making impact right away. Davion Taylor, who's playing the buff back, a great athlete. And then if there's somebody else that's really showing up, it's Juwan Winfrey. We saw what he could do at the end of the year last year when he had 5 catches, 163 yards, 2 long touchdowns against SC. that guy is here again this spring. And I really think that Juwan Winfrey could be the most impactful receiver Colorado's had here for a while.
You mentioned Davion Taylor. That guy fascinates me from the, you know, what his story is, not playing high school football, going the junior college route, becoming the number one junior college linebacker in America. As Coach Barnett likes to say, that fella pops a little bit when you watch him, doesn't he?
He does. He does. He's got some speed. He's got some strength. He's got size. And he's got a little instinct there. He you know, for somebody who did not play college or high school football, he sees the field. He just sees things and he reacts to it really well. I love the idea of him back there playing that buff back and Evan Worthington playing at safety, who, by the way, is also having a heck of a camp. And this is going to be a great time for Evan Worthington because he can concentrate on playing safety. Shadon Brown said the other day there is no doubt in his mind that Evan Worthington will be making money on Sundays next, a year from now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. He's got that pop as well. He flashes all the time out there. The quarterback position, I think, through this fall camp and going into 2018, watching Steven Montez, this is a big time in his career because you're no longer the young kid. You're no longer the guy that's moving into the position. Now you've got a full season under your belt. This is your team. It's time to take ownership. It's time to understand the system. It's time to be the type of leader you want them to be. Don't you think this is a real important time for him?
This is a big, big, big spring for Steven Montez. The interesting thing is he's been the number one guy the last two springs because 2 years ago, Sefo Lufau was hurt. This is Steven's third spring as the number one quarterback or as the incumbent. And this is a really important spring for Steve. And so far, he's had some really nice throws, some really nice stretches in practice. And he's had some moments where he hasn't looked so good. And that fits all of the quarterbacks. That fits Tyler Lytle. That fits Sam Neuer. I don't think they've been as sharp as they want them to be. But at the same time, I think they like what they're seeing because they're speeding up that offense and they're trying to get that timing down. You're seeing it more and more with the number one guys, with Laviska Shenault, with KD Nixon, definitely with Juwan Winfrey, KBeyon Ento. And so you're seeing those guys starting to make plays. But this is a very important time for Steven Montez.
You know, and I would have to think from a coaching perspective, I mean, they're gonna put some pressure on him, put more on his plate, more responsibility. I wonder, and this is you and me speculating here, does that staff watch that through spring ball and then start to how much that's going to color what they do in the fall, whether he has a real long leash or a short leash?
Oh, I think it definitely does. And I think, you know, part of that is there's a new quarterbacks coach. Kurt Roper is here. Kurt Roper didn't recruit any of these guys. Kurt Roper has not coached any of these guys before. And if you watch in practice, and I've been watching that position fairly closely when they're doing the individual drills, Kurt's a much more hands-on guy. Brian Lindgren liked to discuss things, talk about play calling, talk about signals from the sidelines, talk about philosophy. Kurt Roper has him out there doing all kinds of drills, and it's really interesting to watch the difference. And he's much more vocal. He's much quicker to say, hey, you did that wrong, and he's much quicker to say, hey, good job. And so I think Kurt Roper is going to have a nice influence on these guys. And in that regard, I think he said it's anybody's position right now. Certainly Steven is the incumbent. Certainly Steven has the lead. But you're also seeing Sam Neuer get plenty of snaps with that number one unit.
Remember, as Kurt Roper says, quarterback's not a position. It's a lifestyle. Just like being an ink-stained wretch is a lifestyle. And that's Neil Welkus, CUBuffs.com. I'm the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Let's not forget, we got basketball coming up tomorrow night in Salt Lake City. It's the Buffs and the Utes as they put a wrap on the regular season. Speaking of a lifestyle, George King has hit a pretty good lifestyle, a fifth-year senior for the Colorado Buffaloes. Of course, last week was the victory over UCLA on Senior Day. George was a big part of that. He joins us here for a couple of minutes. And, George, I think I saw you get a little emotional out there, a little waterworks maybe.
Yeah, I got emotional coming out the tunnel, and it probably would never happen if it wasn't for Derek and him putting up that.
The guys from Buff Vision, right?
Exactly.
They're tear-jerkers, those guys.
Exactly, got me. But my mom just got on the big screen and, said some words, and it's funny, man. She always gets the best of my emotions.
I don't doubt that. Well, moms are supposed to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was kind of a roller coaster kind of ball game, wasn't it, for you guys?
Yeah, it was. It was a roller coaster game. As a team and for myself individually, had a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I had the highs, the lows. I was taking bad shots and missing them. Hit a shot and made it, and the arena went crazy. Had a block. It was a really fun game, and then obviously we came out with the W. So it was a good exit game.
You know, it's funny to sit here and say, George, say I was taking bad shots. Do you know at the time you're taking bad shots?
Say again?
Do you know at the time you're taking bad shots?
Yeah, I knew when I left. I probably should have, you know, I had a 7-footer closing out on me. I should have drove it, or I should have posted Tyler Bay, post-fed him, but I let it fly. So I don't know if it was because it was just the last game at Coors and that I was just letting it go or whatnot. But no, it was like I said, a good game, highs and lows, and then we got came out with the W.
You know, the block that George is referring to, I think was really kind of the turning point in the second half of that ballgame. Wilkes goes in for a two-handed dunk. And that's not a place where a lot of times you can make a defensive play. Guys get posterized, but you made a heck of a play on that.
Yeah, I was able to make a play on the dunk, and I'm glad I did. I mean, it was like I said, it's a good exit game, good defensive play. Actually, the referee gave me a compliment about the block in the middle of the game afterwards, so that was cool. But I'm glad I'm leaving Coors with a game like this.
You know what Dom Collier told me after the game? He said, if you're going to dunk on George King, you got to go to 13 feet. Is that right?
13, baby.
13. By the way, it was kind of cool after the speeches post-game, by the way, and George was the last one to talk. Did you think the football team was out there with you? You got tackled out there by those guys.
I got tackled. I thought I was in pads again. But no. McKinley and the team came and tackled me down to the floor, which I really appreciate it. I mean, so it's kind of our thing. When it's a guy's birthday, we always kind of tackle him and kind of jump him for his birthday or whatnot. It wasn't my birthday. They actually didn't jump me on my birthday, but I guess they couldn't have picked a better time to do it. But, yeah, they came out of nowhere. I got blindsided. I got ear-holed, if you will, in football terms. But sure enough, yeah, they got me, so it's all good.
Hey, I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse here because the season's obviously not over, but as you walk out of here for the last time, what kind of crosses your mind being in Buffalo and all the hours you spent in this building?
Exactly that. I'm just walking out of here. I'm like, man, that was the last time I ever played in this building with a Colorado jersey on in front of these fans. And, you know, still, you know, settling in, and it's crazy how fast it's gone by.
Like, yeah.
I'm not going to play here again in this building. That's crazy.
All right, watch out. He's ready to cry on the show here. We're not going to let him do that.
I'm not.
All right. Hey, you still got work to do, though, right? You got a big game at Utah, and you know how tough that is this weekend.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Utah's a great team, really good team at home. I mean, they're kind of like us. I mean, they're even better at home. And they've got talented players, good, solid post guys, and solid guard play. It's not going to be an easy one, but it is going to be I think it's a perfect game to try to go in and win before going to Vegas because of the type of team Utah is.
And I'd say this, with the type of team the Buffaloes are, the way you guys have played, beat top teams, you've really got a shot. And I think the way this Pac-12 is, it's really anybody's tournament to go and win.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's one thing we're looking forward to, is because, one, we know we're going to be playing on the first night. So I think that's an advantage to us because we come out, we get that win. That second game, we're playing a team who hasn't played yet. So now we're already used to the Rams or whatnot. We got a little momentum. And again, I think we can be one of those teams that nobody wants to play.
I like it.
You never know what you're going to get.
Well, you know, I've loved calling your games. Let this thing go as long as we can. What do you say?
Absolutely.
Senior George King for the Colorado Buffaloes. They've got one game remaining in the regular season. That is tomorrow at Utah. As the Buffs will take on the Utes in the regular season finale. Our coverage gets underway at 4:30 with Buffs warm-up presented by Safeway on the Colorado Basketball Network. And then the tip-off between Colorado and Utah in Salt Lake City at 5 o'clock Mountain Time. Game will also be streaming live at CUBuffs.com. Transitioning to track and field, just last week, the MPSF Championships, as the Buffaloes and a number of schools met for the conference championships, and for the first time, a Buffalo won the heptathlon. His name? He's a senior, Andrew Gazzone. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's a heck of a weekend for you.
Yeah, it was great.
You felt good going in and the competition? I mean, you were feeling okay heading into the event?
Yeah, I was feeling really prepared, and my coach got me ready. So.
Okay. How does one get into the heptathlon? First off, you know what? For the people that are watching the show, you hear heptathlon. We think we know what it means. Once every 4 years, we hear about it in the Olympics. Mm. What exactly is the heptathlon?
So the heptathlon's the indoor version of the decathlon.
Okay.
So it's seven events. It's the 60... the long jump, shot put, high jump, 60 hurdles, pole vault, and then you finish with 1,000.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which means to do that, you've got to be a very good overall athlete then.
That's the gist of it, yeah.
That's the gist. How does one get into that? I mean, obviously you were a track athlete growing up,
yeah.
So you were competing in a lot of events.
Mm-hmm. I was actually a distance runner in high school, and I was also a gymnast in my youth. So I just kept asking my high school track coach, like, you think I could do that? You think, like, the pole vault looks cool? I bet you I could throw a javelin, something like that. And He's like, I don't really think you can, but go ahead and try it out.
Thanks for the positive reinforcement,
so
there,
he
coach.
Was like, right? Listen, if you like, if you throw it this far, I'll let you keep doing it. If you jump this high, I'll let you keep doing it.
Yeah.
And I just kept hitting that mark and kept going and going. And then I tried a few decathlons in high school and ended up working out for me.
What would you say is the most difficult discipline to master out of the seven, though?
Probably the pole vault is really, really difficult because you gotta work with an implement that's fighting against you the whole
sure.
time.
Yeah.
And that sense of aerial awareness doesn't just come naturally. So flipping yourself upside down and then trying to get over a bar, that's probably the most difficult ones for people to pick up.
We're gonna break news here and I'm gonna shock everybody. I actually pole vaulted in high school.
Really?
Yes. So I know you're shocked as well, just like everybody watching. Totally stunned. But when you get to the level of where you're actually, because you know, young pole vaulters, you go up the pole every bend, so it just kind of flips you up over the top. Mm-hmm. When you start to work with a bend, does that change everything in the pole vault?
It does. Yeah. The timing gets completely thrown off, and you have to learn how to rock back and get your feet over your head. So, yeah, I mean, it changes everything, but luckily I've been doing it long enough that I have a good feel for it.
What's your strength in the heptathlon?
My strength is actually the pole vault and the 1,000 meters. So right. those are the last two events of the heptathlon.
Right.
And that's usually where I make up most of my points.
So going through the weekend, were you feeling good? Were you leading early? Did you have to come behind? How did kind of things unfold for you?
So actually, I wasn't leading until the last event. I was actually 150 points behind day one, and then I tied the guy in front of me in the hurdles. Then the second to last event, pole vault, I made up 90 points, so I was still 60 points behind going into the 1,000 meters, and I had to beat the guy by 7 seconds in the 1,000 meters to win the whole thing.
Wow.
And ended up running 8 seconds faster than him.
Fantastic.
So.
And then now you guys are getting ready for the outdoor season, right? That's just around the corner here.
Yep. Yeah. We start our home meet in 2 weeks, and I'll probably do that. I won't do the whole decathlon, but I'll try and sharpen up some of my individual events.
All right. Well, fantastic. Congratulations to the weekend. That's outstanding.
Thank you very much.
Senior Andrew Gazzone, the first Buff ever to win the heptathlon at the MPSF Championships. Congratulations, and good luck the rest of the way for the CU track team as they get ready for the outdoor season just around the corner. That'll wrap up Buff's Insider this week. Don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be in Salt Lake City, Utah at the Huntsman Center, the regular season finale for the Colorado men's basketball team as they'll take on the Utah Utes in a Rocky Mountain show. Down to the hardwood. Our coverage gets underway at 4:30 Mountain Time with Buff's warm-up, followed by the tip-off between Colorado and Utah at 5 o'clock. For everybody involved in our Buff's Insider this week, I'm Voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us.